All right, check 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Hello. Hey, guys, welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. My name is Adam, and this is a podcast that's all about empowering men to become who God created us to be. The vision is that we would see stronger families and a stronger society, stronger marriages, stronger communities, stronger churches, all as a result of men stepping up, rising up into their calling to be servant leaders, strong protectors and providers. You know, and we do that by following Jesus, by looking to the scriptures, and by walking with a band of brothers. Hey, kiddo. My daughter Charlie just walked into the room. What's up, kiddo? Oh, no, you sounded beautiful. She's practicing for youth group tonight. Charlie and Cadence are actually going to lead worship at Uprise, and it's going to be amazing. My daughters all have really beautiful voices. Yeah, you can be here. You can listen in. All right. A couple other things I wanted to let everybody know about. Check it out. We've got Patreon. Finally, we've got a Patreon page, and several of you have already started donating, supporting the show. $10 a month. You can give as little as $5 a month. You can give a lot more than that too. It's pretty cool. So check that out if you haven't yet. Patreon, Forging the Path. You'll see my name, Adam Zastrow. You'll see our logo there. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. We also have a presence on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. We also have an Instagram page. So those would be great places. We're working on a website, but it is not yet finished. And we're also hoping in the next couple months to have some YouTube presence as well. But for now, you can listen to us on Spotify and Apple. If this show has been any bit of encouragement to you, please help me spread the word. We're averaging about 200 listeners an episode, which is just crazy to me because this all started just on a whim and a prayer. I didn't know if I was going to just do 10 episodes and call it a day, but here we are, 40 some episodes into it, and we've got overall several thousands of people who've been listening to the last 40 some episodes. So thanks, guys. One who clings to God. That's what the name Habakkuk means. We've been going through these minor prophets, and I want especially men to really embrace the minor prophets. It's a part of our Bible that a lot of us gloss over. We don't really dive into. When's the last time you heard somebody say that their favorite book in the Bible is Joel or Micah? You know, it doesn't happen very often, but they're is so many cool things in these books, and the characters of these men, I think we can learn a lot from these guys. Habakkuk is another one, and we're going through him today. Quick overview. His name means one who embraces or clings. And Habakkuk is unique because all the other prophets, they're talking to the people and giving their prophecies or their oracles. Habakkuk, his conversation, the whole three chapters, it's really just him and the Lord. And Habakkuk is, first of all, bringing a complaint to God. In chapter one, he's like, and I can so relate to this. I bet a lot of our listeners can too. He's like, how long, O Lord? I'm crying out violence. I see injustice. There's so much wrong in our country right now. He's living in Judah after the fall of the northern kingdom, but just a couple decades before the fall of Judah to Babylon. And you can tell Habakkuk sees what's on the horizon. And he's crying out to God like, Lord, you got to help us. Our country is just going downhill really fast. There's no fear of the Lord. There's no law. There's no justice. There's no goodness. The wicked are running the show, and it's not good. So where are you? Where are you? And he's crying out to the Lord. And I wonder how many of you can relate as you look at some of what's happening in our society and in our country right now. And I don't know if it's as bad in America right now as it was in Judah in the 600s, but maybe it's worse. But we should have that same prayer. We should have that same heart cry, that posture, that disposition of like, Lord, I see injustice, I see wickedness, I see evil, I see sin everywhere I look, where are you? We need more men to stand up and pray like that. And the Lord answers in the second half of chapter 1 by saying, look at the nations and watch, be utterly amazed. It's like, all right, yes, God's going to do something. And then what God ends up doing is actually telling Habakkuk, don't worry, Habakkuk, I'm raising up Babylon. Yeah, Babylon's coming, and they'll put an end to all this wickedness that you see in Judah. And Habakkuk, then at the very end of chapter 1 is like, Lord, are you not everlasting? Basically, he basically says, they're worse than us. Like the Babylonians are, they're the worst of the worst. What do you mean you're going to raise them up to defeat my own country and therefore bring about justice? They're not any better than us. They're way worse than us. And he says, I'll stand and watch and see how you answer me, going into chapter 2. And then the Lord does answer Habakkuk. He says, write this message down. And this in chapter 2 is where we get one of the more famous verses from Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. It's such a beautiful, beautiful verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Top 10, probably. The righteous will live by faith. It's right here in Habakkuk. And then the Apostle Paul quotes it twice in Romans and in Galatians. And you can emphasize certain words in that sentence and give it different layers of meaning. The righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live, truly live by faith. And you could also say the righteous will live by faith. Yeah, I love that verse. And every time I see it, whether it's Habakkuk or in Romans or in Galatians, it's highlighted in my Bible. And I want that to be true of my own life, that I would live by faith and therefore be called by God righteous. The Lord tells Habakkuk that the righteous will live by faith. And he basically shows Habakkuk a little glimpse of all human history, how the Lord causes the rising and falling of many nations, none of them perfect, all of them to certain degrees full of sin and wickedness, but how the Lord stands sovereign over all of them. And so you get this little glimpse of all of human history, the rising and falling of nations. But the real king, the true king in heaven, stands above it all. And somehow Habakkuk and the rest of us are supposed to get our hope in that. I wonder if that gives us hope. I mean, Habakkuk, he's a patriot here. It's good to be patriotic. He loves his country. He doesn't want to see Judah continue down this slippery slope of evil and wickedness. And so he's interceding. He says in chapter 1, he feels like he's standing on the city walls as a watchman. And the Lord basically says, I'm bringing the Babylonians. And Habakkuk says, they're worse than us. How is that possible? And then the Lord says, I'm sovereign over all of it. Nations rise, nations fall. But I'm still the king. The righteous will live by faith in me. And then the Lord promises, also in chapter 2, this is a great verse. Isaiah says it also, I think in Isaiah 11, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now, I'm not a scientist, a geologist. I don't know too much about water on the molecular level, but waters covering the sea and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord filling the earth, like that's an amazing picture. That the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would be all over the earth just as much as water is in the sea. Like the whole sea is water. So at some point in the story of God's redemptive history here, what he's going to do, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will be everywhere. Everyone will know about the glory of the Lord. And we're supposed to put our hope in a couple of those anchoring verses. Even though nations rise, nations fall, and none of them are perfect. And then chapter 3, Habakkuk has this prayer. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. He basically cries out for mercy. And it's somewhat of a psalm or a song. Even at the end of the book, he even says the last sentences for the director of music on stringed instruments. So Habakkuk is very much like a psalmist. The whole book is him debating and in discussion with the Lord. And his very name means one who clings to the Lord. We need more men like Habakkuk. Guys, we need more men like Habakkuk who cry out to the Lord with a heart that loves our own country, asking God for mercy. I don't know if God's going to bring judgment to our country, which would be redemptive. Like the Lord would use that. If God brings judgment in the form of the USA somehow has a downfall and other nations rise up, it looks like it might go that way. I trust that the Lord will somehow bring redemption out of that. And maybe God will bring mercy. Maybe we'll go through some sort of renaissance in our country. Maybe there'll be revivals. Maybe people will come back to the Lord. Maybe we'll get back to the values and the principles that we held on to a little bit more strongly when this country was first founded. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I can hope. That's my prayer. But even if we don't and the Lord brings judgment, I trust that the righteous will live by faith and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. God sits sovereign and enthroned over all of it. Whatever nation seems to be rising and whatever nations seem to be falling. That's a little bit of the book of Habakkuk. It is a really anchoring and encouraging book, even though Habakkuk probably lived to see the downfall of Jerusalem. And it happened probably within a couple decades of him writing this book and praying these prayers. Still encouraging because, once again, the Lord is sovereign. That whole thing with Babylon conquering Judah was part of his plan. And then Babylon was conquered. And then the nation that conquered Babylon was conquered, and so on and so forth. But the Lord is never conquered. So put your hope in him. Pray for the land that you live in. Live boldly. Stand up for God's truth. And trust him in the process. Trust him in the process that there will come a day where the knowledge of the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth. And in the meantime, the righteous will live by faith. Thanks so much, friends. We'll see you next time on Forging the Path.